It's been a pleasure and an honor to get to know Pastor Jerome just over the last day or so. We met briefly last year at a minister's conference about this time. And as we met, Pastor Jerome said that during the conference, God had told him that he must come to Alabama. And then all of a sudden we meet, and this is the reason that he's here. He's here on assignment from God. It wasn't because we thought he'd be a great guy to have into the church. God had spoke to him before he'd ever spoke to us. And so Pastor Jerome pastors King's Revival Church in Sri Lanka. His ministry is on God TV. And, you know, one of the things that I've just loved in getting to know him is one of the things that they do at their church, and maybe he'll talk more about it, is during the week they'll have a miracle service just for people that's just not even part of their church. And they'll have 1,700 to 1,800 people come every week from around the country to be a part of this miracle service. 100 of them will get saved every single week. Many hundreds ministered to and healed by the power of God. And so I just love the healing ministry. I love the heart of this man, and it's just been an honor to get to know him. He's already imparted so much into mine and Jennifer's life. And so would you just give Pastor Jerome just a great Birmingham welcome as he comes and ministers to us this morning. Pastor.
Thank you for the honor.
Praise God. So that's how they welcome people in Birmingham. I thought it was Birmingham until I heard some saying Birmingham. So I'm getting used to this accent. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I'm not here all by myself. Let me introduce my team. Where is Pastor Pugh? So Pastor Pugh handles all our worship back at home. He's our worship pastor. He's going to join me behind right now in the organ. So he's an amazing spiritual son who's been with us for almost 14 years. He's got a story to tell. All of you here, all of us here, we all have a story to tell. And I pray that story will move into a higher dimension today. And your story will become stronger, more effective, and relevant to the times we are living in. Not just Pastor Pugh, but I've got one of my closest confidants in the ministry. He's a chief elder and a very close friend. He travels with me wherever I go as frequently as possible. His name is Kushal. I hope you can pronounce his name. If you can't, just call him anything you want. Please, Kushal. Welcome, Kushal. And then we have Praveen. He's in charge of security. And So we're all here. Thank you, Praveen. So don't get close to him. Huh? So I believe in flower power. Don't let my shoes and my shirt distract you. God is about to do something good. I honor Pastor Mark and his dear wife, Jennifer, for taking a bold step and having someone from outside share this platform this morning. It is such a risk these days. You need to be very strong and courageous to have someone that you know very little of to come on your platform and share the word of God. Because today there's a disease in the church, and the disease is this. It's not leprosy or something like that. It's just that outside preachers are honored more than the ones inside. So if that's all I say this morning, I can go. The guest from outside seems to be honored far more than the one that's inside. So you have your pastor serving, hand on the plow and working so hard. And then you've got someone from outside coming in And the larger offering goes to them, the honor goes to them, the hand claps go to them, and the vow goes to them, and the resources get sold like that. And so many things happen, but the man inside is sometimes not honored. So I want to take a moment today and honor the man of the house and his wife. Thank you, Jesus. So we honor him and his dear wife and all that you are doing. God bless you. And we honor the man of God who passed on the baton. His dear father and his mom. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to welcome a few friends of mine from who have traveled from afar. First of all, Pastor Sharon, thank you. I deeply appreciate you taking the time to fly over and be here. We love you dearly. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And to her team, Dr. Little, who is not little at all. He's big and tall. And then our friends who drove all the way 5 hours from Dallas, right? New Orleans. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And our church family from back at home in Sri Lanka, they migrated to Georgia. They're here on my left. Can you just stand? We want to welcome you as well. Glory to God. God bless you. Praise God. You can be seated. And last but not least, the family that flew all the way from Canada to be in this service, believing for a mighty miracle of healing in their lives. I want to welcome that family from Canada. Thank you for being here. God bless you. All right. That's done. I bring you greetings from my family. I am blessed with one wife and two beautiful girls. Melanie is her name. I'm sure she's watching. We've got a lot of people watching online today. That's what I'm told. Do we have any numbers? Do we have any nations? We have the habit back at home to have all the nations, you know, come on the screen, and then we welcome every nation that's on. And we've got about 100 of them connected each time we minister back at home in our 7,000 member church. It's a joy to see what God is doing. And whether there's 7,000 or 180 people, God is God. And wherever two or three are gathered, something is about to happen. So I hope your hearts are ready to receive. This morning, I want to be quick, faster than McDonald's, faster than fast food. I just want to deposit something in your spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do today. I want to talk to you about the journey that you are on and how that journey is largely connected to your relationship with God. That goes without saying, right? But it's also to some degree connected to the man of God that you are following. I've lost half of you already. I said your journey in this life is connected largely to your relationship with the Lord. He is the vine, you are the branch. We understand that. And the church has got that revelation quite well. So we do exceptionally well with our walk with God, but we don't do so well comprehending, apprehending, and understanding that this journey on this earth is also largely connected to the man of God you are connected. So you can get your relationship right with God and get your relationship wrong with a man of God, and then you miss the journey altogether. So we have so many examples of people who have a fantastic relationship with God, but because they didn't know how to value their connection to the man that God had placed, they fell short of the journey. And we have many examples like that. So I want to start at John chapter 1, verse number 11. If I were to give a subject, a title, a theme. I would choose a one-word subject so that everyone here in Birmingham will remember. And let me give you that one-word subject in a moment. Let's start at John chapter 1, verse 11. I use the translation kings use because we are kings. It's the King James Version. And if you would perhaps join me and participate, I'm sure we're going to have a good time together. The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, you know what John 1, chapter 1 is talking about? It's talking about Jesus. It gives you a description of Jesus, introducing Jesus from the beginning, before the beginning. I want to suggest to you that the first verse of the Bible may not be Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The first verse of the Bible seems like John chapter 1, verse number 1. Because somehow John had a greater revelation than Moses. Again, this is only a suggestion. Don't fight me. Don't email me tomorrow. If you don't like it, just put it aside. Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But when you come to John's explanation of the beginning, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Something that Moses could not comprehend, perhaps. Moses could not describe it to us. So, I like John chapter 1, verse 1. And John chapter 1 describes Jesus to us in a way that no other chapter perhaps describes. And it comes to verse number 11. Verse number 11. And when the writer comes to verse number 11, he says something phenomenal about Jesus. He says, he came unto his own. That means his own people, the Jewish people. Who came unto his own? Jesus came unto his own people, the Jewish people. But amazingly, his own, O-W-N, his own received him not. Oh. I want to talk to you about how you should receive, not just from God, but how you should receive from your man of God. And that word receive is my subject. That word receive in the Greek is the word paralambano. Allow me to use that word. Let's try it in Birmingham accent. Say paralambano. It sounds like an Italian dish you would order in a restaurant. It is true. It is a Greek word. Pastor Jerome, why are you using a Greek word as your title? Because people tend to remember weird things. So you might forget everything I say today and then remember. But I remember his title. Paralambano. The word paralambano is going to describe how you must respond to your man of God. Amazingly, Jesus comes to his own family, his own community, his own sphere of influence where things should be actually easy, easier. But amazingly, things are more difficult than ministering anywhere else. He came to his own. But his own didn't receive him. I don't know about the United States of America, but from where I come from, a lot of pastors like to travel. And one reason a lot of our pastors like to travel is because they are received well outside. I think I've lost half of the people right now. They are received so well outside their own. So when they go overseas with two suitcases and a Bible, they are so well received, they don't want to go back to their own. Because their own don't know how to receive them. And by own, O-W-N, I am not referring to the Oprah Winfrey Network. I'm talking about your family. Those whom you meet on a daily basis. Those whom you feed every day. Have you gone home and then you cook a meal and you're waiting for the kids to come back home and you've got the table prepared in the presence of your enemies? You're missing revelation after revelation. I said, you have your table prepared for your own family. You're waiting for the kids to come after college football. You're waiting for your husband to come after work. You're waiting for everyone to come back home. And when they come back home and they come through the door, you set the table and they look at it and they say, this is it? This is what you prepared for us? This is what you're going to give us to eat today? And it seems like Psalm 23 verse 5 all over again. That I've prepared a table, not for my family, but it's prepared for my enemies. Never let your man of God feel that he's not well received. Because your journey, can I get off this platform? If I cross boundaries, just calm me down. You have all liberty to just snatch this microphone out of my hand and I'll preach without it. Just kidding. Israel didn't know that while they were so bent on the Torah and they knew the scriptures, John chapter 5 verse 39, they knew it so well, Jesus had to say, you know the scriptures so well, but you don't know me, even though the scriptures are speaking of me. They were so blind that they knew the book, but they didn't know the man. The man in it. They knew the book so well, they didn't understand the author. The same dilemma is there today in the church. They know God, but they don't know his man. They can discern the Holy Spirit, but they can't discern a man of God. The greatest danger that the church is in today is not recognizing whom God sends to them. And Jesus was sent to his own, but his own were wearing sunglasses. They couldn't see him. And today, if you fail to see the man of God, whom God has appointed over Life of Faith Church, it'll affect the destiny of where this congregation is going, even though the man of God can fulfill his. Some might fall by the wayside. In the next 20 minutes, if you're still awake, I'm going to drive this in and help us all understand that our connection to God is vital and our connection to the man of God is essential. The word received here, there are different ways of receiving a man of God. Are we together? This word received, Pastor Mark, is... Now, when I came today, you received me. How did you receive me? You received me with a hug. Can we just practically show how it was done? Could you? You just gave me one of those gentle hugs. I'm not quite sure about him, but still I love him. Kind of, you know that kind of hug, the Birmingham hug? You know, just get used to my style, okay? This is how I roll. This is how I do it. So, you know, just get the revelation behind it. And that's how he received me. Now, that's not the word received there. Then there's another way you can receive. Hi, Pastor Jerome. Welcome to Life of Faith. This is also receiving. But this is not paralambano. Hugging is not paralambano. Shaking hands is not paralambano. God was not expecting Israel to shake hands with Jesus. God wasn't expecting Israel to hug Jesus, but he was expecting them to paralambano Jesus. What is paralambano? Paralambano means to come alongside the man. Kayaba zakto satpele prando stelki hai. That's not my native language, that's tongues. I just spoke in other tongues, I will translate it to you later. Paralambano, the word para is also used for paraclete. Yes. The Holy Spirit is parakletos. Parakletos means he comes alongside. Amen. He comes alongside. This has always been God's desire. When you find a man of God like Moses or Joshua, there your destiny is connected to how God speaks to him and where God takes him. Your journey is with him. Are we together? It is paralambano. It is not man of God. I'm telling you what happens back at home. I'm not here. I think it's a perfect church here. But from where I come, so imperfect. They look at you and they're watching me now. Listen. They say, oh, Prophet Jerome, Pastor Jerome, we have received you so well. We will never leave you nor forsake you. We are there for you, for every vision, your television, everything, we are there. And then another group on this side will say, oh, Pastor Jerome, you know how they are, you know, how they are. So we've been deceived by the handshake. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, when you kiss somebody in the church, make sure it's a holy kiss. Not a holy hiss. You know, holy kiss, holy hiss, they sound the same. Because you don't know if you're being well received by what they are saying. Or the amen, or the nod, or yeah, I'm with you, man of God. Yeah, amen. Are you really receiving? Receiving here is not the amen. Receiving here is not the handshake. Receiving here is not saying, Pastor Mark, I am with you till death do us part. That's not receiving. Receiving is paralambano. That means, man of God, I have discerned that you are the one that God has placed in my life. Not every man of God is a man sent from God. So I have discerned that you're a man sent from God. I am going to paralambano. I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to come alongside you. And I'm going to continue this journey with you. This is what Israel didn't want to do. Paralambano. But they wanted the handshake. They wanted the miracle. They wanted the bread and the fish. They wanted all of that, but they didn't want paralambano. Are we together so far? Are we really, really together? Okay. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, Paul himself, the great apostle Paul himself, describes this emphatically, explicitly. He explains it in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9. Let's read it. Say paralambano. Sounds like you're talking in tongues, right? Well, that's okay. Get used to it. Paralambano. Philippians 4, verse 9. Let's go. 1, 2, read. And the God of peace. Oh my goodness. Who? Pastor Mark, Paul had such an audacity to say to his congregation, whatever you have, he isolates four words. Can I show you the four words? Number one, learned. The next word is received. The next word is heard. The next word is seen. Whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you have heard, whatever you have seen, in me, not in Jesus. Let me try this side. They don't want me there. Can I try you this side? He doesn't say in Jesus. He says in me. Oh, you wish you can erase that from the Bible, huh? He doesn't say in Jesus. Those things which you have both learned, received and heard and seen in Jesus. No. Seen in me. Whatever you have seen in me. So that means there's something that you have to see in your man of God. That means there's something in your man of God that you must see. That you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. I want you to copy it. I want you to be an imitator. I want you to do it. And the audacity of Paul is, he says, if you do what you have learned, seen in me, if you just copy that, look at what he says. God will be with you. OMG. LOL. BTW, are you getting this? This is for FYI. Now let's isolate this. Can I take you deeper, or are you interested in this? Or you don't like me already and you're now thinking, man, I'm going to have a word with Frank and Mark after this service is over. You ready to go deeper a little more? All right. Praise God. When the front row is with you, God is with you. The word learned. Again, Pastor Mark, should I take you as an example or should I take him as Pastor Mark? Yeah, can I? Can I? Then it'll register. By the way, he hasn't given me anything to explain this to you. So that you know, he hasn't coaxed me into preaching this. I'm just preaching and reaching the way the Spirit of God has inspired me this morning. That's it. I'm responsible to communicate. I'm a biological microphone in the hand of God. So I have to tell you these things. Now, what Paul is saying is, your man of God has been placed into your life and there's something that you can learn. That's step number one. Say learning. Now, to learn, you don't have to paralambano. That means you don't have to, Pastor Mark, can I come home with you? I want to learn from you. You don't need to do that. Jennifer is there. You can learn while being in the 25th row. You can learn by the way his demeanor, his posture, his composure, his temperance, how he's calm, how he's collective, how he's patient, how he's kind. You can learn by just watching. Then you go to the third word. I'll come to receive last. Then whatever you have heard, that means whenever he holds the
microphone,
you begin to hear. So you can learn without him speaking, but you can never hear him without him speaking. So you are in the 10th row and you are hearing him. That's another way you receive a man of God. By learning and by hearing the man of God. Not only that, you also see. That word see there is the Greek word eido. Eido means you perceive. After being with him for 5 years, you perceive he's a man who walks with God. You perceive he's no joke. You perceive there's an anointing inside him. You perceive that he's a prayerful man. You perceive that the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former. You perceive that he's prophetic. You perceive that he's carrying a healing grace. You perceive that he's the man God has placed over your life. So you learn, you hear, and you see. But none of those words mean paralambano. Do you know, I want to submit this to you. Are you here? I want to submit this to you. You can learn from the man of God. You can hear the man of God. You can see the man of God and still not receive the man of God. Because Paul, I think you missed it. I think you missed that. Let me say it again. You can learn from him, hear him every Sunday, and see him every day, and still not receive him. Because the word received is a separate word. Paralambano. That means, blessed congregation, precious people of God from Birmingham, Alabama. It is not good enough to see. It's not good enough to learn. It's not good enough to hear. It's important for you to come alongside him. Because there are certain things you will only receive if you come alongside the man of God. Come alongside the vision of the church. Come alongside every mission. Come alongside the preaching. Come alongside the desires God has placed in his heart and his wife. And the leadership. Come alongside. And then you will finish the journey together. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Are you receiving this? Are you sure you are receiving this? Clap hands for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Say paralambano. Okay. I close here. You're already done, Pastor Jerome. Yeah, I'm almost done. And then I might start preaching. Getting to the end now. Zazulekeke sofla tohanis. Pazivel moho frotosilekeda has. The Lord is doing a work in the hearts of man today. And the fruit thereof shall be very visible. The journey will be completed. The visions of all things that God has spoken to those leading this ministry will come to pass. Supernatural resources will flood into this place. People will surely walk in and say, God is here. The righteousness of God will be manifest in a way that never seen before. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can I take this deeper? One more verse. One more? It's free. One for free. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 11. Oh my goodness. Exodus chapter 2 verse 11. Through till about verse 15. If we could just read those verses. It will show us this morning how God sent a man of God. Who wasn't well received. A man of God was sent to deliver Israel. Like Jesus was sent. And Israel had this bad habit even when they were in Egypt. Pastor Mark, bad habits. You can deliver a demon, deliver someone from a demon, but to deliver someone from a bad habit is a bit more difficult because the religious demon is a bit more complicated than any other. Because you can sit in the house of God and feel as if though you don't need anybody. I need to go this way again. Do you know you can sit in the house of God and feel as if I don't need this preacher. I don't need this creature. I don't need this message. I don't need a deliverer. I am fine eating onions and garlic. I am fine eating the meat and whatever Egypt is offering me. I am fine here. Who needs a deliverer? I don't need deliverance. That was the state of mind perhaps Israel had when God sent a man called Moses. And the Bible says, let's go. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out into his brethren. Notice, his own. He's going unto his brethren. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Oh my goodness. Moses is going unto his own, that he went out unto his own brethren and looked on their burdens. When God sends you a man of God, he's sending you because of the burdens you are carrying. I don't know if you're here. The burdens that you are bearing, the answer is a man of God. Difficult to swallow, but this is going to save a lot of trouble. He looked on their burdens and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. An Egyptian is smiting a Hebrew. A non-believer is smiting someone who is supposed to be a believer. Moses looks at that. Verse number 12. Moses looked this way and that way. Watch. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and he hid the guy in the sand. I want to say something. Oh my goodness. I want to say something. Certain men of God, what they do is hidden in the sand. What they have done for their congregations, what they did to save their congregation from an Egyptian, what they did is hidden in the sand. No one knows about it until God says, you don't know what your pastor has done for you. You are alive today because he stepped in. And when he stepped in, that anointing spoke for you. And now your enemy is dead. I don't know if you hear. He hid him in the sand. Verse number 13. We're going somewhere. And when he went out the second day, there are some men of God who will not stop until deliverance comes. When he went out the second day, can we read together? Behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. Now, these are two brothers from the same church fighting. Earlier, it was an Egyptian and a Hebrew. Now, it is two Hebrews over coffee. They're fighting with each other in the church. And Moses sees it. And he said to him that did the wrong, why are you smiting your own brother? Are we together so far? Why are you hurting your own brother? Why are you doing this to your own brother? Why is this happening like this? Verse number 14. I'm about down. He said, oh, here's where the problem is today. Here's where the bad habit is. This disease has been traveling since the time of Moses. Look at the question they asked him when God sent a deliverer to deliver them, and Moses is intervening to solve a problem. Look at their response. Who made thee a pastor and a judge? Sorry. Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Who? Who made you a pastor? Who told you that you're the man of God over us? Who anointed you? Who ordained you? Do you intend to kill us? As you did that other Egyptian? Moses feared and said, this thing is known. Look at what happens in verse 15, and I'm done here. Look at verse 15. Now when Pharaoh, can we read together? Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Ah. But Moses what? From the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. I want to submit to you something. Israel was delivered or supposed to be delivered in how many years? How many years did God tell Abraham it's going to take to deliver Israel from Egypt? Everyone, please. 400, right? Actually, the Bible says it took 430 years. God is a false prophet, huh? Because he said in 400 years it'll happen. But actually, it seems to have happened in 430. I want to only suggest something and not get into a theological argument. If Moses didn't flee and spend 40 years of his life in a place he's not supposed to be and be with the people he's supposed to be, people would have been delivered exactly at the time of the prophecy. There's a prophecy over all of your lives that will come to pass when you submit to the man of God. Why are you giving me that tone? This is the word of God. Acts 7:37, my final verse. Let's go. Did you notice I didn't even turn the Bible? Because I'm preaching to you what I live. My life is my message. I'm preaching to you what is rooted in my spirit. There's a verse, Acts 7:37. I assure you it's there in the Bible. Watch. This is that Moses. Let's all stand. Glory to God. I preached only 30 minutes. 30 minutes. But now, let's see what the Spirit of God wants to do. Huh? Mm-hmm. This is that Mark. Sorry. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Do you know at the time when Moses spoke this, who was he referring to? The coming Messiah? But it's amazing that what Israel did to Moses, Israel was going to do again to Jesus. You know, people have struggled for centuries. They don't struggle with worship. They don't struggle with hearing a man of God. They don't struggle with learning from a man of God. They don't struggle with seeing a man of God. But where they've always struggled, and by they I mean us, is receiving someone the way they are supposed to be received. Para lambano. I want to come alongside the one God is placing in my life so that I can finish this race well. Amen. I submit this to you. And as we go into a time of worship, as our response to this message, something is about to happen. And that is the Holy Spirit, who always comes alongside us, who dwells in you already, but who is now going to confirm to you, he also comes alongside you. And just like he comes alongside you, most often he comes through a man of God alongside you.